Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by the guy who makes his living coloring inside the lines, John Paul Beauvais, as we review Transformers vs. Terminator Issue 3. We talk about the coloring process on Transformers 84, and there's a new Humble Bundle out. Today is Friday, September 4th, 2020, and this is episode 197 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that didn't know it took so many colors to make gray. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Colorful colorist John Paul Beauvais.
Just let me know when you're ready to start, Charles.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
And my intro was too inside baseball. Let's talk Transformers.
It was. I stand by that. We are proud and
tell
happy.
Us, Charles, how many colors does it take to make gray?
The answer is three.
Shut up, that's why.
Very mean. John Paul's a guest. Don't tell him to.
You just, come just,
on, I was talking to you, Daryl.
just give me the sign when we're ready to start the podcast, and I'll start recording. You just let me know, okay? I'm ready when you are.
So he's slightly confused, but we're happy to have Mr. John Paul Beauvais back on the show. He's noted colorist for several IDW comics, most recently Transformers 84, Secrets and Lies. JP, welcome back. We are always happy to have you on.
And whenever you're ready, I'll be happy to be here.
We've already started.
Oh, then thanks.
It's almost 4 a.m. where he is. You'll have to forgive him.
Don't forgive me.
Thanks.
I'm not worthy of anyone's forgiveness.
And thanks for coming back. And you might have heard JP on our toy show earlier this week, so hopefully you got to listen. JP's going to hang out with us for a little bit more.
Yep. Community service says 50 hours, so this is going to be a long one.
We're only on for the first hour. The other 49 you have to do by yourself.
I've already banked two. This only needs to be 48 hours. And we're all right.
Oh, okay. I think you've already done about five, judging from the last show.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. So just 31 hours maybe tonight.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrons, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to you guys for continuing to support the show. We have a new Donatron, Nick. Thank you for joining up, Nick. We really appreciate it. If you are thinking about joining the Patreon and PayPal, you can check out all the new tiers we have set up. We have restructured our Patreon. We've got new tiers, new goals. Check it out. If you're already a Donatron, nothing really changes that much other than some of the merchandise things, but all the content and stuff you're getting is already there. So check it out, and hopefully that entices more people to sign up if you're listening to the show and enjoying it. Now's a good time to get in. All right.
So once more with feeling, Charles, from the top. From the top. Come on, you can do it.
I'm just going on. No one... See, one take. We got one take. That's it.
One take, Shelton. That's what I call you. Okay.
We've also got the next episode of our live play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. Episode 31 came out this week. And on our exclusive Donatron page, we've got... Empire of Rust episode 31, the uncut version. So this is going up for our Donatrons on Monday. So you can listen to all the stuff that was cut out of the regular episode. It's more like a director's commentary featuring Mike and his merry band of Transformers Dungeons and Dragons players. So that will be out Monday, September 7th, Labor Day. So enjoy your Labor Day holiday listening to an extra long Empire of Rust. We've also got our IDW Robots in Disguise retrospective episode 1 that came out this week as well. So that's a good 2 hours of us sitting down with John Barber and Andrew Griffith talking about the 2012 Robots in Disguise comic series. We go through the first 5 issues and there's lots of behind the scenes stuff, secret stuff that we go in depth. It's a really awesome time, really great podcast. We enjoyed doing it and we're going to keep it going. So take a listen to that.
I can't remember if it made the video because I've been staring at that video for so long, but we have seen the timeline that John has created.
Yes.
It was magnificent.
A thing of beauty.
Thank you.
Oh, you made that timeline for John?
No, I'm sorry. I just heard thing of beauty and I just assumed you were talking about me. I'm sorry. You know I only listen to the podcasts that have me in or are about me. We've established this right from the start. So if the conversation moves dangerously away from me, then I just have to kind of bring it back, as you know. I'm one of those important people that demands that I'm occasionally credited for the work I do. With my actual name, which, as you know, is unreasonable, but it's just the way I am.
That's the dream, one day. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to start off the show with some comics news. Okay, so last week, Bluefin Brands did a bunch of live streams themed around their, all focused on Transformers. One of them was with IDW creators, and this was a cool panel because they had on John Barber, Anna Malkova, David Marriott. I think that was it. Was there anyone else? Sam Maggs, yes, the writer.
She showed up a little bit into it.
Okay, yeah, she was the writer on Transformers Galaxies issues 7 through 9. So she did the story with Gage and RC and Greenlight. And Anna Malkova is, of course, now the regular artist on the main Transformers series. And John Barber, editor-in-chief of IDW Publishing. So, yeah, that was a cool panel. A little bit of news was that issue 25 of The Ongoing is a double-sized issue. So look forward to that. That'll be coming in a couple of months. And Anna Malkova's work is currently working on that, so look forward to that. Next, I wanted to highlight a tweet that is from a Jan Paolo Bove.
I'm unfamiliar with this person or their work.
It's pronounced Joanne Lafuente.
This is a tweet that
the Josh Bertram is silent.
Yeah, so JP, you put out a tweet where you showed a little bit of the process of how you got classic Grimlock Gray into Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, I'm actually for a post that is about Gray, it's bizarrely very liked, which I wasn't expecting at all. But yeah, so the thing about Transformers 84 and really a lot of the work I've done before this involves getting the original comics, scanning them in at something like 1200 DPI, so I can actually see exactly how Nell Yomtov arrived at the colour choices. Because it's a weird thing. You know, you can just put grey, like a flat grey down, but that's not how it would have been done back in the day, because they could have done it, but they didn't do it. They did it through overlays of coloured dots or squares, and there's a huge difference in a dot and a square in terms of how it all looks. But yeah, so I kind of had to try and find out what made a Dinobot grey, and that I just thought, well, I just, you know, I'll show people what it kind of looks like, how I see it, which is literally those tiny blocks of colour, and then what it looks like on the page, which is sort of a grey that if you look at it close enough you can see the dots in it. But anyway, it's the sort of thing that literally only a psychopath with no regard for their own time or well-being and might love Transformers slightly more than they love themselves. In fact, a lot more, because I don't love myself at all, really. That, yeah, it's just sort of I've tried to make it as authentic as possible, and that's one of the ways I've tried to do it is figure out why and how certain things were done and keep them as close as possible. And one of the ways to do that, the difficulty of doing it on a computer, you can, on a computer, just color it gray and then ask Photoshop to sort of do a crazy dot thing on it. And it's fine. It's fine, but it's not right. It's not right. So things like the solid red of Grimlock's eye, for instance, if you did it in Photoshop, it would split that up into dots. But in the old book, red was red. Largely, it was a solid red and a solid yellow. And you would have just, if you wanted pink, you have red and white. But Photoshop will split it into three colours and stuff. And it's just, it's all a lie. And I won't stand for it. So yes, as a result, I've made a tremendous rod for myself. Yep, thank you, no one, for pointing out the innuendo in that one. but it's weirdly satisfying, and it's quite nice because lots of people have said, you know, this is what they, it brings them back to where they were as a child reading it. And it's also, for me, with Regeneration 1, I was told, don't make it look like the old book. Make it feel like it's come from the old book, but that it's, you know, it is modernized. And then with this book, I asked the question, you know, how do you want this to look? Do you want it to be period specific, or do you want it to be? And they very much said, we'd like it to look like the old book. And there are modern elements in there. There's a little bit more shadow and a little bit more highlight than there would have been time for when it was being done with hand cut out sheets of dots. So it's a little bit, it's slightly modern, but it's also very, very much unambiguously retro. So I just thought I'd share that with people. And Dinobot Grey was weirdly the chosen panel for that one.
Were the spots where like some of the lines or colors go outside the panel boxes, was that by design too, to make it look like printing errors?
There is a little bit, so that there is the difficulty. So the ironic thing is, in order to replicate, computers are too perfect. So one thing was, I try not to make it too perfect. It's still pretty perfect by comparison to the old system of sticking things together up with paper. But there was two things I did. One was, on a computer, the dots can be too precise. And on the old book, when that dot hit the page, it would spread. And because IDW uses actually really nice paper stock, that's never going to happen. So I have to replicate that by making sure that the dots and the squares have a slightly fuzzy edge, like it's bled into the paper. And then the other thing is, there is a paper texture. If you have the books, there's a paper texture overlaid onto the paper, so that things like solid blocks of colour, like red or yellow, have a tiny bit of texture just peppered into it, so that it doesn't look too crisp. Because then, ironically, if it's too crisp, it doesn't actually look like the old book. It looks fake. So anyway, like I say, it is the thought processes of a psychopath, but I needed to share it with people who get it to hopefully appreciate that there's quite a lot of care that goes into it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we're all fans of the old Marvel series, so it's really cool to see how much care and effort you put into making this book look and feel like the old series. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know that people appreciate it, because they say, so sometimes as the hours stretch on, you think, man, this would have been so much easier if I just, you know, just did that pink or something, or made up a color, but
or just use the Photoshop
you know, thing. It but yeah, so I hope, I was not necessarily the biggest fan of the old school colors, but I have learned to love them, because I have really looking into how it was done and how effective it was with very limited You know, the one difference between what I do and the old stuff is there's a lot more white. So backgrounds would be, you know, often just pure white, which I tend not to do. So that's probably the biggest difference between this and the old book. But what they achieved with what they had is actually really clever. And I don't think I appreciated that until I really had to dig into how it was physically constructed with you know, sheets of dots cut out in strips and then placed on top of each other. And when I colour it, I literally have sheets of dots at various sizes and thicknesses and distances and stuff that I overlay to create these as close as possible to what the originals look like. So, yeah.
I think it would be really cool if they did, like, a limited release of one of these issues on the old paper stock.
I would love that if they did that. When they did Regen, they did that 100-page issue that was, like, the last blot, and that was on, coarse, slightly rougher paper. That would be great if they did that. It would be great if they did that. But I don't know how many people that would appeal to other than me. But
yeah. That's why it wouldn't be cost effective.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Yeah. But hopefully even on nice shiny paper, it's still kind of, you know, it is as close as it can get without actually being on the old paper.
All right, last bit of comics news is IDW has put out another Humble Bundle, and this is all about Hasbro Comics crossovers. So this bundle is available for, this is where you can pay whatever you want to get a bunch of digital comics. These are all DRM free, so you can download them as PDFs and have them forever. It starts off at $1, I think. If you pay a maximum, well, not a maximum, but if you pay at least $15, you get everything. And lots of crossovers here. Lots of Transformers themed crossovers. Transformers and G.I. Joe. Transformers and G.I. Joe. Revolution. Transformers versus the Terminator,
Ghostbusters,
all the Star Trek, all the ones from last year.
ROM Transformers,
ROM versus Transformers, yeah,
that was good.
Visionaries Transformers, the old G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers from even before IDW, from I think Devil's Due or Dreamwave. So we got the first issue of the Ponies, first issue of the Terminator one. A gem in the holograms. It's not Transformers crossover, but gem. A Danger Girl G.I. Joe crossover, also not Transformers. Lots of good stuff.
Is the gem one really a crossover? Because it says it's a gem / Misfits crossover. Aren't they from the same show? Same.
Yeah, that is true. That's not. Yeah, it's not really.
It's the first Autobot Decepticon crossover.
Yeah.
And there's a Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons. That series is there. Although I do have to point out, unfortunately, it seems like that. So this Humble Bundle, I guess, depending on your region, all the books are not available in that region. So if you we know one of our DJ Ronan, one of our Canadian listeners, looked at the bundle and the Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons piece of the bundle is not available for Canada. So you still pay, but you don't get that book, which is really weird. So there's some weird rights issue with Rick and Morty that the book is not available maybe outside the U.S.
I wonder if the rights issue is really with Dungeons and Dragons.
But Hasbro owns Dungeons and Dragons. So Hasbro owns all these licenses.
Oh, right. Okay.
The thing is, they can own all the licenses, but they may have different, like, regional deals. So like over
publishing,
there was the whole thing with Doctor Who, wasn't there, where there is already a pre-existing agreement in the UK. There is a publisher that publishes Doctor Who comics in the UK, so IDW could publish Doctor Who in the US, but they couldn't sell them in the UK or something. There's a few where there's pre-existing things, which mean there's a deal made with somebody else already and they can't They can't until it aligns. It's a bit like with Disney Plus, depending on which country you're in, different films came on Disney Plus at different times because they don't... So, like, over here, Sky Movies or what have you has the rights to show a particular Marvel movie for the next 6 months. Therefore, it won't turn up on Disney Plus until that has elapsed. There's a few strange anomalies like that. So even though Disney owns it all, they still can't show it on their own channel because they've already agreed with Fox, which they now own anyway. you know, so.
Yeah, this might actually be more Rick and Morty because it looks like the Rick and Morty comic is Oni Press and everything else on here is IDW. Still really dumb.
All right. Well, as of this recording, so the when this goes up, you'll still have about a week and a half to pick these books up. The Humble Bundle ends September 16th, so you've got some time, but I would say definitely check these out if you have not read these comics. All right, let's move on to our comic review. All right, we are reviewing Transformers versus Terminator, issue number 3, Enemy of My Enemy, part 3. Story by David Marriott, Tom Waltz, and John Barber. Written by David Marriott and John Barber. Art by Alex Milne. Colors by David Garcia Cruz. Letters and design by Jake M. Wood. Editor Tom Waltz and assistant editor Riley Farmer. We have three covers. Cover A by Gavin Fullerton is Optimus Prime with Bumblebee riding on his hood and following the Terminator and Sarah Connor on a motorcycle. Cover B is a T-800 with Optimus Prime and Megatron as part of his chest by Andrew Griffith. And the retailer incentive cover is Megatron apparently commanding an army of T-800 Terminators, and that's by Freddie E. Williams and Jeremy Caldwell. Daryl, which cover are you picking here?
This is an easy week for me, man. This is Andrew Griffith's cover B for me. That T-800 with Prime and Megatron's heads built into the chests is just... It's really nice. Looks really great. Andrew killed it with this one. I love it.
Awesome. Jeremy, which cover are you picking?
Yeah, I have to agree. Although, I mean, I do like the Freddie Williams cover as well. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on. And I like the simplicity of Andrew's. And then, like, when I looked at it at first, I didn't even notice the Optimus and Megatron. And then, you know, it blends so seamlessly. I love it.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and make it unanimous. I also am picking the Andrew Griffith cover, and for all the reasons you guys stated, it's just a really cool image and a really nice way to blend the Terminator and the Transformers. All right, let's talk about the story. We return to the Ark, the Autobots' crashed spaceship. Sarah Connor, the Terminator from the future, Bumblebee, and Optimus Prime have managed to get a few more Autobots online. Medics Ratchet and Velocity, Engineer Wheeljack, and Warrior RC are fully functional and ready to help stop the Decepticons from ravaging the Earth. But the rest of the Autobots are in bad shape. The Ark's computer, Teletran 1, is back online, but the ship is nowhere near spaceworthy. And they'll need a significant amount of Energon to get any more Autobots up and ready. In a word, the situation is dire. But Optimus Prime is... optimistic. He has faith in Ratchet and Wheeljack's abilities and trusts his team to never give up, but he does have a plan. While Ratchet continues to work on the deactivated Autobots and Wheeljack scans local transmissions for signs of the Decepticons, the rest of the Autobots and the Terminator will split into reconnaissance teams. Prime and Velocity will search for sources of Energon, RC and the Terminator will scout the Ark's perimeter for any Decepticon traps, and Bumblebee will take Sarah Connor home to ensure her safety. Sarah is fine with that, but she wants to make a stop on the way to get some new clothes. Her waitress uniform is in tatters. As everyone prepares to leave, Optimus Prime gives the order. Autobots transform and roll out. Meanwhile, at tech startup company Cyberdyne Systems in Sunnyvale, California, Megatron and the Decepticons have easily overrun the plant. They encounter no significant resistance, not even more of the humanoid hunter robot who attacked them at the Ark. And the fleshy version of the Humans are significantly less of a threat. Starscream interrogates the engineers and tries to get more information on the hunter. He even offers to make a side deal with the humans to help him usurp Megatron's power. But he is disappointed when the humans have no idea about the mysterious hunter robot and don't seem to be helpful at all. It looks like these humans are not useful for Starscream at all, other than as target practice. Soundwave and the other Decepticons busy themselves with collecting Energon from the factory's power plant, but it's an inefficient process, and there is no indication of the source of any more of the hunter robots. Megatron is eager to eliminate what seems to be this planet's only resistance so that he can begin his conquest in earnest. Back in Oregon, Optimus Prime and Velocity Search leads them to the aftermath of an earlier Decepticon attack on the coast. Prime is saddened by the loss of innocent life, and it hardens his resolve to stop the Decepticons before more of these humans are harmed. In the Ark, before RC and the Terminator begin their scouting mission, the Terminator complains that he has no weapons at his disposal. RC is happy to help in that department. She leads him to the Ark's armory and offers him his pick of Autobot firearms, but she warns him that if he betrays the Autobots, he'll have to deal with her. The Terminator takes that warning, but still takes some of the bombs and plants them at different locations within the Ark, unbeknownst to RC. It looks like the Terminator is ready to eliminate all Cybertronians, not just the Decepticons. In Stockton, California, Bumblebee takes Sarah Connor to a department store where she gets a more functional set of clothes. As Bumblebee drives her home, Sarah turns on the radio to pass the time, and a news broadcast mentions a terrorist attack at Cyberdyne Systems in Sunnyvale. Both Sarah and Bumblebee come to the same conclusion, Decepticons. Bumblebee changes direction and heads for Sunnyvale while he transmits an alert back to the other Autobots, telling them to meet him there. Bumblebee and Sarah observe the plant from a safe distance and verify that it is the Decepticons attacking. It looks like they're finished and about to leave, so Bumblebee prepares to stall them to give the other Autobots time to arrive. But before he can execute his plan, Skywarp, on aerial patrol, spots Bumblebee spying and uses his teleportation powers to appear right in front of Bee and Sarah, blasters drawn. Of course, since Skywarp yelled surprise before he attacked, Bee managed to avoid the blaster fire and keep Sarah safe. Skywarp would be really deadly if he were just a little bit smarter. Bee grabs Sarah, transforms around her, and drives straight into the plant and toward all the other Decepticons, with Skywarp right on their tail. Sarah asks if he knows what he's doing, and he reassures her that he does. Bumblebee drives straight for Megatron and at the last second transforms back to robot mode, shielding Sarah beneath him and ducks down, expecting Skywarp to fly over him and crash into Megatron. That would have been a great move if Skywarp didn't teleport away at the last second. He's not that stupid. But before Skywarp can gloat at foiling Bee's fancy moves, he's blasted out of the sky by Optimus Prime, accompanied by Velocity, RC, and the Terminator. The cavalry has arrived. Bumblebee tells Sarah to take cover while the Autobots fully engage Megatron and the Decepticons. It's a good old knockdown, drag-out fight with the Autobots and Decepticons trading blasts and blows. Even the Terminator gets in on the action. He throws a sticky bomb on one of the reflector bots' faces and pushes the button on the remote detonator. One reflector Decepticon terminated. Back at the Ark, Wheeljack and Ratchet see the Autobot situation is getting worse. They're prepared to go help, but it would be even better if they could get more warriors like Sideswipe, Windblade, or Grimlock online. But it looks like their time has run out. The Terminator left a present on the Ark's engine core, and as he pushes the remote detonator back at the Cyberdyne Systems, the bombs go off on the Ark as well. The Ark is completely destroyed along with all the Autobots inside. Back at Cyberdyne Systems, the Autobots don't know that the Ark has been devastated, and they keep fighting the Decepticons. Velocity salutes the Terminator on his Decepticon kill, but before the Terminator does more damage, Starscream reappears. He thinks he's figured out the true origin of the Terminator. Starscream reasons that he's a cyborg from the future based on the designs created at Cyberdyne Systems. If Starscream murders the engineers now, the Terminator will never exist in the first place, assuring the Decepticons' victory. But of course, Starscream is always looking out for Number One. So he's not going to kill the engineers yet. He wants to make a deal. To be continued. And that is issue 3 of Transformers versus the Terminator. And yeah, this is the story is still chugging along really well. I was really surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by the Terminator really wanting to fulfill its mission and destroy all the Transformers. But it was still a bit shocking. I didn't even realize that it was the Terminator who had caused the explosion. I thought the Decepticons had left a bomb in the Ark or something. But going back and looking through the issue, it's clear you can see the Terminator planting bombs as he's walking around with RC inside the Ark. Good job. Good stealth job, Terminator. So I'm wondering how everything's going to resolve at the end of the issue. And it looks like they really did kill off Wheeljack, Ratchet, and all the other Autobots. So looks like things are going to get really bad in that last issue. But yeah, this was a great issue. I'm really enjoying this story. The artwork by Alex Milne is really cool. All the cross-hatching he's doing in this book really gives it a unique look. And it's been great. So, Daryl, what did you think of this issue?
Oh, this was another good one. I thought it started off a little slow, just kind of everybody kind of gathering up and doing what they were kind of, you know, getting set to go out and kind of picking up the pieces of where they were and figuring out what's, you know, what their next move is going to be. I did like the little bit of math that was going on with the whole Energon cube thing. They're like, oh, they've got 40% of the Energon left or power left for the, you know, the plant, and it's only going to fill 8 more cubes. And in my head, I'm like, they're not getting a lot of cubes out of this power plant. And then in the next panel, it's like, yeah, this is not a lot of Energon. This is, you know, they're really not getting out a lot from this place. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. The math kind of works out. And then, you know, the partnerships between RC and the Terminator and Bumblebee and Sarah was good. I can remember thinking, is Sarah going to be in this waitress uniform the entire damn series? Because it's getting pretty ripped up. And nope, they've got a panel here where specifically it is for her to go off and get some new duds. So that's kind of cool.
To a Sears. If you look at the thing, it starts saying Sears.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
SEA, yeah. Looks like a Sears department store.
Oh, okay.
Remember Sears?
Because cool. That was in the 80s.
I do remember Sears, yes. Yeah, so no, that's all very good, and I appreciate that they did that. What else? The Terminator planting the bombs to blow up the Ark, I don't know, like, we don't see any bodies, so I can't jump on the whole everyone's dead thing. That's one hell of an explosion, so I can see how you would jump to that. I'm not about to jump to that yet. Comic book characters have survived worse, so.
I mean, it looks like it's taken out, like, half the mountain here. Like, you can see the engines of the Ark in the explosion. Like, the fire is engulfing everything, so. I mean, I'm not going to say they're all dead yet, but it doesn't look good.
it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But, I mean, like, yeah, the explosion caused the mountain to erupt again. Like, I mean, this is one hell of an explosion, right? Mm-hmm. So, who knows? I'm pulling for Ratchet. he's probably good, you know, right? He's got to survive. I love the alt modes. They look fantastic. So, I mean, this is the first time we get to see Velocity's all alt mode. You know, it just looks fantastic. And I think this is the first time we fully get to see RC's, maybe not, but But yeah, she looks fantastic in this as well.
Well, this is the first time we get to see both robot and alt modes. They were not online in the last issue.
Right. Okay. So yes. So I'm really happy with the designs of both of these characters. They just look phenomenal. And I know that we talked about it in one of the previous episodes about the cars that were picked and, you know, and what they look like and stuff like that. But I really do like the look of both of these characters with these alt modes. And then the art itself, Alex is just, he's really talented. So, I mean, I don't know whether he needs to keep hearing me say it, but I'm sure he doesn't mind it. But he keeps outdoing himself time after time. So the explosion itself is just, that's all Alex, like the kaboom or kachoom or whatever the hell he's got written here. Yeah. It's that's all just art. Like there's no letterer doing that. That's all just in the actual art. You know, he's got bits of trees still stuck to the ground flying away. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you can see the mountain, you know, the volcano erupting again. You know, there's a lot of art in this. And it just looks phenomenal.
It's Krakoom.
Krakoom. Okay.
Read it from the top.
Right.
I love that you get the huge Krakoom, and then the next panel is just the reflector, and it's like,
yeah, just a tiny little one. But yeah, I love it. And then on the other side, I mean, obviously you get the nice shot of Starscream pointing his null ray at the Terminator, and then at the scientists, and the close-up of Megatron's face on a few pages back. Like, Alex is quite talented, and a lot of people know, you know, how he does it so well. Yeah, I really enjoy looking at his art. I just noticed this on the last page, just above To Be Continued. You got somebody's hand just dangling there out of the debris. Somebody, oh, wow. Somebody didn't make it.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying this series quite a bit. I could read another 12 issues of this, and then give me 50 more. So, yeah, I got to say, one, this is not a critique, but I definitely noticed that Wheeljack's head, he's got a bit of a mohawk going on, and I noticed that top little piece of his head was a lot taller than it usually is, but. It's cool. It's, you know, I definitely noticed the change in that one, but it's cool. I like it.
All right. Jeremy, what did you think?
I have to like agree with everything you guys have said. This was such a fun book. I think the writing was like snappy. I think the humor worked in the few places that you had it, like where like the Terminator, when he sees a Transformer, he's like, you know, threat level and possible vulnerabilities. And for Bumblebee, he had like hearing, and then he had scratched out. And then another place he has like, I think for one of the reflectors, he was like vulnerability face. So it's cool how all of that is paid attention to, because that's where, you know, his head gets blown off. But everything is quick. It's the characters are written very well. Like, this is the Optimus Prime I want. The one that's kind of, he's gung ho, but he's not dumb. At one point, he and Megatron are doing their scene from the 86 movie, but Optimus just kind of cuts off Megatron and goes ahead and just attacks, doesn't let him get finished. The writing is, or the art is just fantastic, like Daryl was saying. I really am enjoying the cross-hatching and stuff that Alex is doing. It's just, I don't know, it's just not something we see a lot, and it adds so much to the look of this book, makes it stand out. The coloring I thought was also really good. So this is going to be like such a great book to like reread after everything comes out. It's just, yeah. I mean, you guys have already gone on about everything else that I would have mentioned, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'm hoping that there was something in the arc that saved Wheeljack and Ratchet. I'm not thinking they did. I also didn't see the Terminator doing that when I first read it. It was just like, as I was going through, as Charles was going through the summary, I'm like, oh yeah, there he is. And he's clearly planting the bombs. And it's just, if you didn't pay attention, like I didn't, you would never know. And then you obviously put it together that the Terminator blew it up, but you know, I like those little details that are in there.
Yeah, it was, definitely. I mean, I didn't really even know, like, because I looked at it and I was like, because the way the story flows, it looks like it's also telegraphed when they have him pushing the detonator and then going to the arc explosion and then going back to the reflector explosion. So you're trying, it's kind of signifying that him pushing that button blew up everything. So when I saw that, right, I was like, wait, when did he plant bombs? And then I actually had to look at the summary on the wiki to see if that really happened. And then I found it in the art. So it was very subtle. But yeah. So yeah, this is really fun. Looking forward to the last issue. So that should be out in about a month, and we'll see the thrilling conclusion. Looks like the Terminator might win and kill off all the Transformers. And then the pave the way for Skynet with no John Connor to get in the way. All right, that is all for Transformers versus the Terminator issue 3, and we will move on to Transformers media news.
All right, in media news this week, a company called Disguise Inc. is going to manufacture some Transformer costumes and props based on Hasbro properties. So we've got costumes for Transformers, obviously, some Optimus Prime and a Bumblebee costume. Bumblebee costume will give you nightmares.
Sexy nightmares.
There is Power Rangers costumes and
PJ Masks.
Something else, sure. PJ Masks. And then the prop is a G.I. Joe sword for Snake Eyes, I guess. I don't know G.I. Joe.
Yes.
And yeah, so if you're looking for costumes for Halloween, which totally should not happen this year.
Well, you'll be wearing a mask.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got your mask, but everyone that you're, all the candy you're getting has been touched and handled by a billion other kids and some stranger that you don't know. So good luck with all that. There's some Transformer costumes that you can get.
Just buy your kid a fun size assortment and let them go to town and home.
Just a little bit of movie news. We got some concept art from Transformers The Last Night. I can't believe we're still getting concept art from this movie. So we've got a something for what was Marky Mark's character, some kind of...
What was Marky like, Mark's character is a good question.
Yeah, he's a Cade Yeager and some kind of cable arm. So he was or Winter Soldier arm. He's some kind of metal arm for that.
And do you know what? It still doesn't make him interesting. Isn't that amazing?
Nope. There's very little to that character. And we've got some art for some dragons and Megatron and some kind of soldiers and
it's Dragon
a bunch
Megatron.
Of different is it Dragon Megatron? Mm. Okay, cool. Sure thing.
They Megatron could have been a dragon, but they didn't make him a dragon in the movie.
Missed opportunity.
Again.
And then some pictures of some various different lips for Bumblebee. So these are all different makeup choices for Bumblebee.
Talk about like making up nightmares.
Oh my goodness, this is ridiculous stuff. I mean, it looks like at some point they're just having fun because they threw Vader's kind of face on them. Yeah, it's just some ridiculousness here. So yeah, I think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here when it comes to concept art for The Last Night. In TV streaming news, we got a stop motion video called Virtually Reality from the official Transformers War for Cybertron accounts, and you can check that out here. It's just a bunch of the toys that you can buy in stores, and they're running around doing things. Yeah, stop motion, they're fun, you know. Take a look at that. And on the Bluefin Brands interview with War for Cybertron's Megatron voice actor Jason Marnocha, So you can check that out as well. It's on the YouTube panel. So I don't believe Jeremy was partaking in this, but
no.
But yeah, so you can see that there, and the video is timestamped, so you can just get it from the start. But yeah, so that looks kind of fun. And as always, the next episode of Cyberverse dropped on Monday. It's episode 23. We're coming to the end of this. Holy cow. One episode a week is really ridiculous. This is only available for Americans. So if you're in America, wash your hands and go to YouTube and watch Cyberverse. If you're not in America, you've probably already seen it and you're still doing much better. Yes, you probably already have been washing your hands and wearing a mask. So I don't have to tell you. But yeah, that's it for media news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with Transforming Pop Culture. So, Jeremy, you found this item.
Yeah, so there's a series I like on YouTube called the Movie Tribute Smowdown, and basically it's like if you took Jeopardy and pro wrestling and mashed them together, you get this. It's a fun trivia show. And they had one with
things I would have ever put together in my life.
I know, but it's just you get the theatrics.
Can pro wrestlers do trivia?
Well, that's a good question. This particular match has Chris Jericho, a pro wrestler, versus Kevin Smith, not a pro wrestler.
Does Kevin Smith crush him?
Actually, yes. by 1 point.
Spoilers.
Spoiler Aww. Alert. Kevin Smith won by 1 point. At the end of round one, I'm just kind of listening as I'm about to fall asleep, and I hear the two words, Stan Bush. I'm like, oh, Transformers movie. Don't even, you know. But so this is that question, and I thought it was really funny. So I'm going to play that bit.
I know.
6-4 as we get to our final question in round number one, and it has been a tight match here, Mark, and Kevin Smith has an opportunity at 7 with Chris Jericho aiming now to get 5. All right, Mark, last one.
It's been a doozy so far, Christian. Maybe Jericho inspired by the mention of half of Canada's first couple, Michael J. Fox and Celine Dion. Your question. Final one in round number one. In the world of animated movies, these could be drawn by hand or on a computer. Your question. Stan Bush's song, The Touch, was prominently featured in what 1986 animated film that featured the vocal talents of Orson Welles, Judd Nelson, and Scatman Carruthers?
Kevin Smith written this one.
There's never been a vocal cast better than the three gentlemen I just listed.
It was a really good one. And Smith is done, and Jericho's writing down at the moment.
And if the contest was about who's a faster writer, I win.
You would. 5, 4, 3, 2.
JTE.
Second one. All right, Mark.
All right. This is in the world of animated movies. Stan Bush's song, The Touch, was prominently featured in what 1986 animated film that featured the vocal talents of Orson Welles, Judd Nelson, and Scatman Crothers? Without giving the answer away, Christian, my dad took us to see this in 1986. He was livid leaving the theater.
I remember, and I also remember a lot of people screaming in the theater when I saw it as well. And I might have been one of those kids.
It's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it really is.
Home video watch for me.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Chris, your answer?
I know it's not right. Once Upon a Time in America.
That's incorrect. And Kevin?
What a lofty stab in the dark that was. I'm going to say Transformers the movie.
That is correct. Transformers the movie. 7-4.
You got the touch.
If you would have said the song Hunger by Spectre General was in a movie, I would have got it in a second. Spectre General, Canadian band Kickaxe, is in that movie on that soundtrack.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so see, it's the random cuts that we need to help Jericho out here.
So, anyway, wow. I thought that was fun.
Deep cut with Kevin Smith coming with Hunger. Yeah.
Well, no, that was Chris Jericho. Was it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith got it right.
Chris Jericho was the one pulling out the Spectre General reference, but
nice.
He is Canadian and he is in a band, so he is required to know this.
I was worried by the sentence "half of Canada."
Yeah,
at the beginning of that moment. No one's going to correct him. Apparently, okay.
They must have had Yoshi writing on the script for that show.
Yeah. But anyway, it was fun. And anytime, like in something like this completely off the wall, I hear a Transformers reference.
Go Transformers. All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. JP, it's been awesome having you with us this week. Got any more stuff you want to plug at the end of this episode?
I'm ready when you are.
We're ready now.
Sorry. Okay. Hi, everyone. So I just remind anyone who hasn't listened to the other show, which means I can't remind you because you didn't listen to it previously, that Transformers Secrets and Lies issue 3 must be dropping around when this...
Yeah, it's already out. When this show goes up, it's already out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Which means I've already finished coloring issue 4. Wink. So that's out. That's great. Agent Moose, which is the book that my wife has drawn and I've colored, is also out. Oxygen, the creator-owned book by Andrew Wildman. Issue 1 is out, and issue 2 may be out, possibly even by the time this comes out. Other than that, you can find me at Wordmonger on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram as well. I won't be there, but you can find me there. You can find evidence that I exist there, just not much in the way of activity. You can follow me anyway. Who knows? Love you.
We love you too, JP.
I know you're only saying that, but I'm just going to bask in the love of Big C for a second anyway.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ready to go when you are.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
What we want to do this with this is it's going to be on some stuff that will be sent out to Patreon supporters.
Oh, okay. So, like printed on the side of a glazed ham, for instance.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, we're in that tier.
We can pay you in ham.
For all you shippers out there, there are pictures of Andrew sat on my lap at a convention. Also me stroking...
Settle down.
Alex Milne's face. Alex Milne's sweet, beautiful, red panda-like face at a convention. That's definitely the most interesting aspect that I've been involved in. And to be honest, how they managed to guess so much of it right, I've no idea. Nobody else was there except me, Casey, my wife, and the cameraman. So... And they all signed non-disclosure agreements, so I don't understand. All I have to say about Transformers versus Terminator 3, I had no idea that Arnold Schwarzenegger was Optimus Prime's baby. That was a surprise. I cannot believe Marvin the Martian was in it. That was just amazing. And lastly, it was great that the entire movie Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of Harley Quinn, was featured in the reflection in Megatron's eyes throughout the course of the book. So,
all right, I wrote an intro. It's not great, but I thought it was. It ties into. What JP has been doing with coloring stuff. So I thought we were good.
I would have said podcast that knows that the plural of moose is moose.
That's too inside jokey.
Going to get that Marcin squirrel.
Oh, there you go.
Is that Gru? Whoa. Or
was that or a Russian? Boris.
That was something.
Was that your Russian?
That was something. It's not my best. No.
Cut out. Just only caught the end of that.
See if I can slip some more in there for you. Be yeah. ready for it.
Okay.
Open wide up.
I'll open wide and let it rush in.
Oh!
You can't see the finger guns
the joke.
I'm firing.
Very, very funny joke. It's funny. I laugh inside.
In Soviet Russia, joke gets you.